Millions keep New Year's without knowing why or where it originated. While some question its observance, of course, most see nothing wrong with such a celebration. Have you ever considered, much less investigated, why you believe and practice what you do? The world is filled with endless customs and traditions, yet few seek to understand, to research, the origin of things. Most go along with popular practices without question, choosing to do what everyone else does simply because it is easier. The majority hold the same beliefs they learned in childhood, assuming what they believe and do is right. They take their beliefs for granted and never take time to truly study or prove them. Should true Christians, whose calling and goal is to imitate the perfect life of Jesus Christ, celebrate New Year's? Should they be caught up in the excitement? What could be wrong with ringing out the old and ringing in the new? What is the origin of this holiday? What does God say about it? You will be surprised to learn the truth that ministers of professing Christianity either do not know or will not teach.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack.
Before looking at what the Bible says about New Year's, we must first examine the history of this popular holiday. Notice this from the Encyclopedia Britannica. The earliest known record of a New Year festival dates from about 2000 BC in Mesopotamia, where in Babylonia, the new year Akitu began with the new moon after the spring equinox, mid-March, and in Assyria with the new moon nearest the autumn equinox, mid-September. Now this from the Encyclopedia Americana. Among ancient peoples, the beginning of the year was determined by one of various events, such as the spring or autumnal equinox or the winter or summer solstice. In Egypt, for example, beginning about 2773 BC, the year began with the heliacal rising of Sirius, which coincided with the start of the flood period of the Nile and came not long after the summer solstice. The ancient Egyptians, Phoenicians, and Persians began their new year with the autumn equinox, September 21st, while the Greeks, until the 5th century BC, observed theirs with the winter solstice, December 21. The World Book states, many ancient peoples performed rituals to do away with the past and purify themselves for the new year. The Celts celebrated the new year on November 1st, marking the end of summer and the harvest, and the beginning of the cold, dark winter ahead. This was a precursor to Halloween. They built sacred bonfires to scare off evil spirits and to honor their sun god. Also notice this. In early times, the ancient Romans gave each other New Year's gifts of branches from sacred trees. In later years, they gave gold-covered nuts or coins imprinted with pictures of Janus, the god of gates, doors, and beginnings. January was named after Janus, who had two faces, one looking forward and the other looking backward. Here is more from the Encyclopedia Britannica. By the Roman Republican calendar, the year began on March 1. After 153 BC, the official date was January 1, and this was confirmed by the Julian calendar, 46 BC. In early medieval times, most of Christian Europe regarded March 25th, Annunciation Day, as the beginning of the year, though for Anglo-Saxon England, New Year's Day was December 25th. Since Roman Catholic leaders falsely believed that Jesus was born December 25th, they assumed his mother Mary conceived him on March 25th, 9 months before. Let's read. March 25th is called the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It celebrates the occasion when the Archangel Gabriel announced to her that she was to be the mother of Jesus. Although the church began very early to commemorate this event, the date itself cannot have been fixed before the date of Christmas was established, which was sometime late in the 4th century. The two dates are dependent on each other, because they must normally have been 9 months apart. Then, reaching all the way back, people decided that this was not only the day on which Christ's earthly life began, it was the day everything began, the day of creation itself. From here it was a very short step, an almost unavoidable one, to the idea that March 25th must be the beginning of the year. And from the 12th century until the calendar reform in 1752, March 25th was New Year's Day. These historical accounts make clear that the history of New Year's Eve and New Year's Day is deeply rooted in pagan traditions. It originated in the minds of men, pagan idol worshippers, and it slowly developed over the centuries. Now notice what God thinks about New Year's and any holiday that has its roots in pagan practices, customs, and traditions. You will be shocked. We begin with Jeremiah chapter 10. "Learn not the way of the heathen," God says, "for the customs of the people are vain." This is a plain command from God in your Bible. Throughout His Word, God describes the heathen as those who worship nature, the sun, moon, stars, trees, etc., or man-made idols, or anything but the one true God. God calls such people and their practices heathen. Men call them pagan. Christians know that God hates all customs, practices, and traditions that have pagan roots. How serious is God about paganism? Follow the next few passages carefully. When He rescued the 12 tribes of Israel from Egypt and led them out of brutal slavery, He commanded, "After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, where I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in men's ordinances." In verses 24 to 29, God told the Israelites not to defile themselves with the practices and customs of the surrounding nations. And also, "Therefore shall you keep my ordinance, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God." God cursed Egypt with 10 plagues and freed Israel from slavery. He parted the Red Sea and led them to safety. He fed them manna from heaven, protected them from battle-tested Gentile armies, delivered them into the Promised Land, and drove out their enemies. How did Israel treat God in turn? "Our fathers understood not your wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of your mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. They made a calf in Oreb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory, the true God, into the similitude of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. They despised the pleasant land. They believed not His word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. They joined themselves unto Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions." God had explicitly commanded Israel to cast out and utterly destroy all nations that occupied the promised land of Canaan. Above all, they were not to make political alliances with them or marry into their families. Read Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 to 5 and 16. "Why? For they will turn away your sons from following me, that they may serve other gods." But the Israelites, who thought they knew better than God, decided to do things their own way. The picture is awful. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yes, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto demons and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled with their own works and went whoring with their own inventions. To wake Israel up and get her back on track to being the model nation He had always intended, God gave Israel over to their enemies. Israel repented. God rescued them. Then Israel pursued other gods again. God punished them again. Israel repented again. So went the deliverance, idolatry, punishment, repentance cycle verses 40 to 46, until finally, God had no other choice but to divorce unfaithful Israel. Read Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 6 to 11. He used the Assyrians to invade, conquer, relocate, and enslave the northern kingdom of Israel, 2 Kings 17, which disappeared into history, having forgotten their true national identity. Even today, the modern descendants of those 10 lost tribes do not understand who they are. Later, God sent the southern kingdom of Judah into Babylonian exile, 2 Kings 24 and 25. My crucial book, America and Britain in Prophecy, offers a tremendous amount of proof explaining who these tribes are, where they have been through history, and why this is so important for you to understand. Captivity came because Israel lusted after pagan customs, rituals, traditions, and ways. After examining the previous scriptures, it becomes obvious that God does not take pagan practices lightly. True Christians know that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The Greek word for confusion also means instability, disorder, commotion, tumult, words that aptly describe New Year's chaotic history. For thousands of years, men kept changing their New Year from spring to fall, from March 1st to January 1st, and in some cases December 25th, to March 25th, back to January 1st again, the dead of winter. Notice Merriam-Webster's Encyclopedia of World Religions. January 1 was restored as New Year's Day by the Gregorian calendar, 1582, immediately adopted by Roman Catholic countries. Other countries slowly followed suit. Scotland, 1660, Germany and Denmark, about 1700, England, 1752, Sweden, 1753, and Russia, 1918. Even today, men cannot agree on the date. Notice, Chinese New Year is celebrated officially for a month, beginning in late January or early February. And the Muslim New Year falls on the first day of the month of Muharram and commemorates the date of the Hajira, July 16th, 622 AD, on the Gregorian calendar, the starting point of the Muslim calendar. Since the Muslim year is a lunar one consisting of only 354 days, the commencement of the new year fluctuates widely by the Western calendar. The Vietnamese New Year, Tet, falls sometime between January 21st and February 20th, and the Jewish New Year is observed during September or early October. Hindus in different parts of India celebrate the new year on various dates. This is what happens when people insist on following their own judgment rather than trusting the one who designed the entire universe and everything in it. Not only is the history of New Year's confusing and chaotic, but so is the holiday itself. During New Year's celebrations, people let go of all inhibition and many times self-respect and go wild. They use drugs, overdrink, practice free sex, and with those they barely know. These sudden actions often yield lifelong repercussions. They shoot guns in the air to ring in the new year. Common sense is thrown away in order to have a good time. Usually the only thing people regret, however, are next day hangovers. The U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration released a report revealing that the number of deaths as a result of alcohol-impaired drivers greatly increases between the Christmas and New Year's holidays. The average number of drunk driving deaths between 2001 and 2005 was 36 a day. This number grows 50% during Christmas and New Year's. Notice also, on average, from 2001 to 2005, the last year for which complete data is available, about 40% of all fatalities during the Christmas and New Year holiday periods have occurred in crashes where at least one of the involved drivers was alcohol impaired. Another source added, 38% of all traffic fatalities during the Christmas period occurred in crashes involving a drunk driver or motorcycle rider, and 41% during the New Year's period. This compares with 31% for the year as a whole. The World Book of 2010 records that when America was still in its infancy, many American colonists in New England celebrated the New Year by firing guns into the air and shouting. Sadly, this tradition still exists in parts of the United States. Few think about how their actions, combined with gravity, can have a deadly effect. What goes up? Bullets must come down somewhere. A recent example of this was New Year's Eve of January 2010, when the Daily Mail of Britain reported that a 4-year-old boy was suddenly killed by a bullet while sitting with his parents at a church service. The wound was gaping. Experts believe the shot, which came through the roof of the church, was fired from an AK-47 assault rifle more than 2 miles away. On New Year's Eve in 2005, two people were struck in different parts of downtown Atlanta by stray bullets. One hit a woman in the head. In Puerto Rico, it is said that so many guns are fired on New Year's that it can sound like a war zone. Obviously, a holiday this chaotic, violent, and dangerous does not reflect God's command to let all things be done decently and in order. Again, true Christians recognize this about New Year's celebrations and avoid them. They know that they must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the man cannot rely on himself to determine good from evil because the heart is deceitful above all things, God says, and desperately wicked. And also, the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. God states, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The Creator designed and gave life to human beings. He knows how they should live. God has given His creation an instruction manual to help men live the way He originally intended. See John 10 and verse 10. That manual, the Holy Bible, is God's Word and His truth, John 17, 17. It is filled with spiritual laws, statutes, and judgments, guided by perfect spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. 2 Timothy states, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine," that's teaching, "for reproof," for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Only God's Word can accurately distinguish right from wrong. Righteousness, obedience to God's commandments, Psalm 119, 172, from sin, breaking God's spiritual laws, 1 John 3, 4, and Romans 7, 17. God's people understand that, as the only real standard of truth man can live by, Scripture cannot be broken. But most people, including most thought to be Christians, love and follow the ideas of men. Jesus knew this and warned, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. Full well you reject," meaning you know exactly what you're doing, "the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition." God commands His people not to follow pagan practices. Let's ask, are there biblical examples of God's servants celebrating New Year's? What about David, called a man after God's own heart? Or Abraham, the father of the faithful? Or Moses? Or even Jesus Christ? The answer to each is no. Nor is there any biblical instruction to celebrate this day. But that does not stop almost all professing Christians from doing so. Society, including millions who claim to follow Christ, ignores God, in effect telling Him, "We will decide what we should or should not do." God's people actively search the Bible to learn His will. Their life's mission is to live by God's Word alone, not by the traditions of men, including all pagan celebrations. People can worship in ways that represent things far different from what they sincerely believe or intend. When they have observed a practice for a long time, they come to identify with it as though it were their own. They become vested in it. When one tries to tell them the truth, even presenting facts, evidence, and proof. And in the case of Bible truths, Scripture, many become hostile, outright angry that any would dare speak against sacred personal beliefs. The proof is overwhelming that popular holidays are traditions and commands of men, condemned by God. Vast millions keep them anyway. In another passage, God makes absolutely clear that He does not want His people mixing His ways with any false ways. Let's read it. "What things soever I command you," God says, "observe to do it. You shall not add thereto nor diminish from it." In other words, do exactly what God says, not more, not less. When God instituted the Passover to Israel, He also revealed to them His sacred calendar. He said, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." God's calendar begins in the spring, between March and April of this world's calendar system. Leviticus 23 reveals all the special holy days, annual Sabbaths, that Christians are to observe. They are dictated by God's calendar, not man's. Although the Bible tells us when His calendar year begins, God does not command or suggest or even allow that His followers ever throw aside self-control for a night of wild partying. His people understand the days they are commanded to observe: Passover and the 7 days of unleavened bread in the early spring, the Feast of Pentecost or First Fruits in the late spring, the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, as well as the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, and the last great day, all in the early fall. God carefully explains when these days are to be observed within His sacred calendar. Jesus kept them, as did the apostles in the New Testament church. The true church, the only one Jesus established, has kept them for 2,000 years since AD 31. Take time to review this extensive list of verses. Most who claim to be Christian believe that these special annual Sabbaths are only for the Jews. They prefer pagan holidays instituted in humanly devised calendars. True Christians know better. These same Christians realize that this world belongs to Satan. He rules it through mass deception in the name of Jesus Christ. Here are two passages you should never forget. The great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world, and also, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not." In Genesis 3, Satan misled Adam and Eve into eating from the forbidden tree, thus cutting off their offspring, mankind through the ages, from God. And Satan is the same evil spirit who misleads man into committing every sin under the sun. As long as the devil influences the nations of the world, prior to the now imminent return of Jesus Christ, mankind will continue drowning in sin, including heathen customs and practices, which may seem harmless to the average person, but in fact insult God and are a stench in His nostrils. This Satan-influenced world is about to collapse. My booklet, Who or What is the Beast of Revelation, will leave you in shock about what you did not know. Speaking of Babylon in context, God commands all of His people to come out of her, the ways of this world. Jesus told His disciples, "You are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." Though they must live in it, Jesus' disciples today are not and cannot be of this world. New Year's Eve and New Year's Day originate from this pagan, Satan-influenced world. They, with many other pagan holidays, were designed to deceive mankind as a whole by appealing to fleshly, carnal desires, or what the Bible calls works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are obvious, Paul wrote, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. To any honest person, much of this list sounds like a description of New Year's. The next verse in Galatians declares, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Those truly serving God have their minds focused on God's kingdom. Read Matthew 6 and verse 33, not fleshly cravings of this world. They strive to put off the old man and actively imitate the perfect righteous example of Christ. They are to dedicate themselves to God and His way of life. They allow God's word to direct and guide every thought and action. They understand that they come out of the world, I repeat, including its pagan customs, practices, and traditions. New Year's is no exception. To learn more about what God says regarding His holy days and men's holidays, read our booklet, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays. For a more thorough look at Christmas and Easter, read The True Origin of Christmas and The True Origin of Easter. You will be shocked at the origin of these celebrations and the large number of clear scriptures that explain God's view of these traditions. Soon, Satan will be removed from his throne and replaced by Jesus Christ, who will establish God's government, the way of righteousness, peace, mercy, and truth on earth. When that day arrives, mankind will no longer be deceived into practicing customs contrary to God's will. You have heard the truth about New Year's, its pagan origins, its history, and how God views its customs, traditions, and practices. Now, what will you do this new year? Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.